All right, it's me, and I want to thank everyone at the Oasis podcast, as you were. Welcome back to the Oasis podcast, the ultimate audio guide to Oasis. Hope you guys are all right. Here we go again, another fantastic, exciting edition of the Oasis podcast. You just heard a little bit there of the new single from Noel Gallagher, Council Skies, the 173rd song to be released from the upcoming Council Skies album. What did you think about it? Did you enjoy it? I'm going to be talking about it in the a bit more detail later with the guys from Breezer or AISIS, which is the interview we've got coming up. So I won't go into it in a huge amount of detail here, but I like it. I think it's a really lovely song, really well produced. Noel, on his interview with Zoe Ball, said it had like a bossa nova beat. And I agree, it's got like a cool sort of feel to it. And it's lots of, it's well structured, it's well put together. I think that he sings it very well. I like the instrumentation. But there's two very glaring things about it, which just sort of mean I really struggle to listen to it, to be honest, which is the pre-chorus is the same as Pretty Boy. So let's have a listen to that. Beneath the starry. And the chorus, probably even more egregiously for me, is the same as that bit in The Ballad of the Mighty Eye. So let's listen to that. So this is something that Noel's done before on songs, and maybe in the future I'll kind of get over it. But right now, sort of having, you know, heard this the other day for the first time, listened to it quite a few times, it just means I can't really listen to the song, because I just, every time I hear it, I just think of the other thing, and it just annoys me. He's ripped it off. So, so not really sure if that will sort of change over time. Because it is frustrating, because it's such a good song. I do really like it, but it's just something that's just really glaring to me that just means I can't really enjoy it. So so there we go. But anyway, I will cover that in a bit more detail in the upcoming interview. I just say the video was released as well, which I thought was really good. It was really beautiful cinematography. Nice to see sort of working class areas, and and I think it was cool then when all the like the cannons and stuff went off, shooting up all of the smoke into the air or whatever. I thought it was really nice, that sort of magic moment within very, very normal situations. And yeah, nice to see the High Flying Birds playing live. A stripped down version of them with no YZ, no Charlotte. I don't think Mike Rowe was there either, so it's just like a five piece. Nice to see Jess there, which is good. And yeah, funny little cameo, John Robb, sort of playing the guy in the club. So that was cool, I thought. And John has featured on the Oasis podcast before, so all good. All right, so that is what I have to say about that. Say I cover it a little bit again in the interview. Yes, talking about the interview, here we go. So this is with John and Bobby from the band Breezer. Now, as we get into in the discussion, so I won't sort of bang on about it here. It's been massive news recently with this whole AI Oasis thing. Yeah, and thankfully enough, I sort of I kept being tagged in it. I got tagged in it multiple times. Oh, have you checked this out? Have you checked this out? And so yeah, so I got in touch with the guys, managed to grab them for an interview, and here we are. So that's one of the great things about being the Oasis podcast, eh? Right. So yeah, so it's a really fun chat, and as I talked to them about it, I love the idea of them coming out and doing something live. Maybe we do an Oasis podcast live at the Water Rats. If you think that'd be a good idea, let me know. I'd love to see these guys live. So yes, there we are. Right, let's go over now then to my interview with John and Bobby from Breezer, aka Aisys. Another sunny day. Just wasted it away, thinking about all the things that I could be. Can you hear me breaking? You know what I'm thinking? I'm coming from here. I didn't say no here. Welcome back to the Oasis podcast, Breezer, aka Aisys. John and Bobby, how you doing, gentlemen?
Good, mate, good.
Yeah, thanks for having us on, man.
Yeah, well, if you can spare me a few minutes, because I know you're obviously global superstars now. So yeah, if you, how long have I got you for? 5 minutes, three?
Oh, as long as it takes, as long as it takes, mate.
Well, we could just do it. We can just do an entire B here now, live listen through if you like.
Mate. Yeah.
And then we'll do the AI-sis afterwards.
That would be handy, yeah. Well, look, yeah, so I was just saying before you jumped on there, John, that this popped up, and obviously it's made massive news. And one of the good things about doing the Oasis podcast, when something related to Oasis makes news, it's like, right, let's get on this and go a little bit deeper than the quick little bits that you might get other places. But yeah, this has been nuts, right? If you guys have had I saw it. Obviously, I did some stuff with AI. You know, I did a couple of episodes on that a couple of weeks ago. And then the next thing I know, I'm being tagged on a Reddit post about this AI album. And then, like, within a couple of days, it's like Billboard, Guardian. Like, what the? It's just gone mad. What's going on?
I think, John, you're probably the best person to explain this because it's way above my pay grade to know.
Yeah,
he what just the hell has happened?
Bobby just did the tech. Oh, and all the original singing as well. So it's actually Bobby's voice, that it's only Liam's tone that is actually, you know, the cadence and the inflections that's on Bobby's voice. But this is just something that we did for, you know, we thought Oasis fans are going to love this. We loved the songs when we were doing them as Breezer. You know, the band itself never got much traction. It's very, very hard to actually sort of get recognised as an original band now. I think, you know, people just still listen to Coldplay and The Killers, don't they? You know, there isn't really any genuinely huge bands out there. And I think it was a tall order for us to even sort of go after, you know, any sort of big success just with the current sort of musical climate like it is. But yeah, we just thought, you know what, we always thought these songs sounded super Oasis. Bobby sort of started getting into this whole training Liam Gallagher, and sort of sent over a couple of clips of these songs, the Breezer tunes with Liam on, and it was just like, fuck, this is so amazing. We have got to, like, we've got to troll a few of our mates with this. So yeah. I sent it to one of our lads, Harry, and I was just like, mate, I've got a confession to make. The Breezer songs were never original. We actually stole them from an Oasis lost tape that I found at a record fair. And he was like, you are kidding me. And I was like, no, they're unheard Oasis songs and we're going to put them out. And he was like, no, this isn't happening. And it was like, I was like, I'm just kidding. We've got an AI Liam on the Breezer shit. And he lost his mind. Everyone was losing it. And we were like, look, do you know what? Let's put this on the Oasis Reddit. I joined a couple of Oasis forums at the weekend, although they're pretty dead, unfortunately. I do miss the forum days. And we just thought, let's see what Oasis fans think. Let's get some reactions. And of course, it's just flown. I mean, yeah. You know, the fact that people, there was like 10 articles yesterday based around one tweet or two tweets from Liam Gallagher. Yeah. I don't think he said more than 10 words on the subject and it made headline news. That'll do it.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I think just to go back to what you said, I think there's such an appetite for Oasis. And I think, you know, we, all the people on this call and listen to this podcast will know that it's something that everyone wants so much. And I think that the fact that we've been able to give people the sort of purest form of Oasis in years, I mean, some would say 14 years, but a lot of people are saying since 1997, it's a huge compliment to us, which we're obviously made up about. But it's also, it just goes to show how much that band is still loved and how I think there is an appetite, even in 2023, for huge guitar anthems.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. We'll dig into that. But I just wanted to go back a little bit. So just tell us about when you guys got into music. You sort of said sitting around playing FIFA, listening to Be Here Now. Was that your sort of formative kind of, you know, transformational getting into music sort of story?
Do you know what? One of my first ever purchases was when I was like four, was like a cassette of whatever. And like, I remember going into like Woolworths to buy it and my nan bought it for me. And I guess like that kind of set the tone for the rest of my musical life. But yeah, just getting into bands at school and kind of experimenting with playing guitar and things like that. And your friends like kind of egg you on to kind of learn guitar or start a band. And then before you know it, your whole world has been built around rock music and guitar music. And it just spirals from there, doesn't it, really? Like, I really got into Oasis probably when I was 13, and I heard it and I was just like, what the hell is that? Like, that is incredible. I want to play guitar like that. I want to learn how to solo like that. And just been a huge fan ever since. And it's kind of inspired most of the things that I've ever made, to be honest, from that point. Yeah. All the bands have been like Nirvana-y, The Verve, Oasis, huge bands that don't really exist anymore, unfortunately. I'm pretty sure John's the same.
Yeah,
I've got a few years on Bobby. I'm 38, so I was 13 in 97 when Be Here Now came out, and it was the first album that I queued up to buy at Woolworths of all places. But I had a mate who had an older brother, so for the 3 years preceding that, we were getting drip fed all the Oasis singles, and I was learning drums at the time, and my best mate Josh, who probably listens to this podcast actually, was learning guitar. So we were up in my loft at my parents' house when we were like 12, 13, playing like Live Forever and stuff. And then, you know, Be Here Now came out. It was amazing. By the time Standing on the Shoulders of Giants came out, I'd gone full into like Blink 182 and like American rock stuff. And I didn't leave that for a long time. And it wasn't until maybe 2006 that I started to go back and start listening to like Oasis again and remembering that I'd actually sort of grown up listening to that stuff. And then, yeah, I think as you just get older and the other music sort of drops away, you're left with the best bands. You're left with listening to the Beatles. You're left with listening to Oasis and those gigantic bands. And I just think, yeah, going back to what I said earlier, me and Bobby have been hanging out since he was about 16, I think, and we're both in like local bands around Hastings. And I think, you know, just sort of probably maybe 2011, we started just sort of hanging out and just going, fuck Oasis, man, absolutely. Like, let's actually listen to this. Like, you know, it's getting better, man, when it's like 7.5 minutes long all around the world. It's just like, what were they doing? It was almost like a bit of a joke. We kind of loved it because the production was just so wacky and like, Be Here Now. And obviously then we went, you know, just digging into other stuff. And then maybe 2014, Bobby gets in touch and he's like, I've written some stuff I think you're going to like. And that's when the kind of story picks up.
Yeah. So just tell us about then. So this is the founding of Breezer and you sort of putting these original kind of this original run of the band, basically.
It wasn't even then. So 2013, I'd been in a band a couple of years before that had done okay, but kind of just petered out in the end. And basically, I wrote some songs after that kind of split up, and they were kind of like what I always wanted to write, and that ended up being Breezer. So I'll start a generation tonight. You just say it's all in my mind. Why'd you fall into the arms every time? But Breezer didn't actually start until lockdown 2021. So we wrote, I'd say four of the songs that were on that Lost Tapes were written in 2013. And the other four have been written in 2021.
Right. Okay. And so that's post lockdown. You think, right, let's meet up and let's get this stuff recorded properly.
Yeah. I think we went for a pint. Me, John and Chris, who's also the other songwriter, just went for a pint. We were like, we should just do something with this. Like, I think we were listening to Alive, which is one of our songs. And we were like, we should just put this up on BBC Introducing or something. And then a few days later, it got played on Radio 1 and it just kind of spiraled from there.
That there was a fully formed set of like five demos that we actually started circulating amongst our mates, and they were like, why aren't you doing this? What are you doing? And it took so long to actually get to that boredom of lockdown to go, yeah, all right, cool. You know, Chris, who wrote the lyrics for most of these songs as well, I mean, I remember first hearing Tonight and going like, this is honestly an anthem, and our friends were all the same. But yeah, ironically, we were thinking, Bobby, do you remember, we were thinking about doing it in 2020. We went and recorded a load of drums and bass for the tracks in January 2020, and lockdown happened. We were like, right, let's go get this all finished. And then lockdown happened. So it gave us, we had a bass, you know, we had the rhythm tracks down, and then it was like lockdown to sort of get the rest of it finished and stuff. So there was almost, we were almost going to go for it 2020, and lockdown just delayed it all a little bit longer. But it was just this sort of, we got a group chat of all of our mates in that we've had for years. And, you know, they've always just been like, release the songs, put them out there. They're like sending us videos from house parties in 2019 where they're playing Alive to like 40 people who are loving it. And it was like, yeah, we probably should put this out one day, you know. But yeah, it's quite funny. It almost became a bit of a, it was just a bit of a laugh in the end, putting it out. It was like, all right, look, we'll give them what they want. And then obviously Dan P. Carter picks it up. And it starts a totally different journey for us.
That is mad, isn't it? And so so yeah, so after Dan P. Carter played the track, was there did you sort of push on from there or what happened at that point?
I think it caught us a bit off guard, to be honest. It was like, oh shit, okay. It was all in like one weekend. It was very, very similar to this, but like on a much smaller scale.
Yeah.
It was kind of like, oh, it's on the radio. Oh, like, you know, Jack Saunders is gonna give it a listen and blah 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 blah. And then the weekend's over and it's like, oh, okay. Well, I guess we're a band then.
Like, yeah, we're gonna have to do it. We're gonna have to do a show now. We're gonna have to we're gonna actually have to play a show.
Yeah,
which and we actually did in the end.
Rehearse, and you know, I suppose if you hadn't really been like regularly rehearsing or anything like that, you just put these things together.
We hadn't even had a band put together, really. It was just me, John, and Chris.
Had our mate Rom, who'd sort of like me and Rob had actually rehearsed these songs as well. Bobby had actually rehearsed these songs in 2018, 2019. I think I've got footage of us playing Tonight in 2016 as well, Bobby. Right. You know, we've been going back to these songs for a long time. And yeah, so we had Rum, who loved the songs and plays guitar, and our mate Dobbo to play bass. And we just put a live band together and played a few shows. And the first one was honestly out of this world. It was like 250 people crammed into a box in Hastings and like, wow, just losing their minds. Do you know what, this is all right. But very quickly, you know, we went and put a follow-up single out, which was Forever. And you know, without any sort of backing, you know, there were a lot of people talking to us, a lot of like, there were management and there were labels, but no one, it's almost like it's too dangerous to sign a band. Yeah. It's like, it's, you know, it's like, what do they do with it? What do you do with it? You can't just go
I was gonna say, I think they're also a bit scared of something that sounds like that. I think they're a bit like the Oasis kind of sound is so polarizing, it seems. Like, people either love it or they absolutely fucking hate it.
Mm.
And I think a lot of A&Rs and stuff like that now think too much about what people would think about the band, where, you know, are people going to ridicule this band or is it going to do numbers on TikTok? It's like, who gives a shit, man? Does it sound good? Yeah. Like, I think it's obvious from the YouTube comments and the views and everything that it definitely is all about the music at the end of the day. If a band's going to be really successful, it's all about how the music translates to someone, not what they look like or, you know, the numbers they're doing on TikTok or how many followers they've got on Instagram. That is irrelevant. When you get it in front of people, they will respond.
Well, this is the interesting point, really. And this I found fascinating. Like, you know, how many times do we talk about, like, how many great bands just never got signed? You know, how many amazing songs have been written, but just never, you know, they've got like, you know, 700 listens on YouTube or Spotify, or whatever, just because they never got that opportunity, that traction, that growth. And this really shows it, you know, that you guys, you've got this fantastic music. It gets, you know, a few bits of radio play, a few shows. But yeah, it's not then given the opportunity to come to the next level. And also, you guys aren't like 20 out of the Brit school. You know what I mean? Mm. You're a little bit older, you're younger than me, but you're a little bit older. And it's like, so there's no record company that's going to go out there and take a chance on it. And yet something like this, you stick an AI Liam voice on it. And what people aren't saying is, you know, like, other AI Liam stuff has gone up. Like, I put out the Don't Look Back in Anger AI Liam thing as like as a April Fool's. It didn't get any, yeah, it got like tweets and I got a lot of listens on the podcast, but it didn't do news. Whereas what's happened here is it's that combination of, oh, isn't it interesting? And all the ideas about AI and what's that all about? But ultimately, it wouldn't have got the traction it would have got if this music wasn't fucking good anyway. You know what I mean? And that's what I've really loved. And what you guys must be really proud of is it's not just people going, yeah, isn't it weird? Or like, oh, AI and what's all that about? But it is. Everyone's going, fucking hell, this music's really good. You know what I mean? That must be really, really.
Yeah, like the YouTube comments have made my year. to be honest. Yeah. Like, it's the whole reason that anyone makes music is for someone to turn around and be like, that like blew me away.
Yeah.
Like, no one wants to hear like, oh yeah, it's all right. It's like some of the comments I've seen about songs like Bittersweet that are on there, it's like people have said they started crying. I'm like, that is just, there is nothing more satisfying. Yeah, I was like, thank God. But there's nothing more satisfying. It's like, wow, that really affected someone. And that's the whole reason we even make music in the first place, is because other music affected us to start playing guitar, playing drums.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think people really resonate with just the actual energy and that sort of that real 90, we've almost, you know, bottled that 90s sound. And that's a credit to Bobby's production skills as well, just sort of getting it to sound like that. Yeah, it's pretty incredible. Like, you know, I think we at points over the years almost thought that we were in like a delusional echo chamber. It was like, oh, tonight's massive. Oh, a life's an anthem. Yeah, is it though? And now it's like, yeah, it fucking is.
Yeah. And there's thousands of people listening to it and telling you it is. Yeah.
I was also a bit worried about how when we did, well, originally we only kind of wanted it to circle around the Oasis Reddit, really. That was kind of the only place we wanted it to kind of be seen. We had no idea about what would actually transpire, but I was a little bit worried about what they would think, because I was like, are we pastiching a band that we love? But I think deep down we knew that it wasn't Oasis. It was Liam was singing our songs.
Yeah.
And we also wanted to make a point of, this is what they would sound like if it was now, rather than recreating like Morning Glory or whatever.
Yeah, well, the point you made then about the 90s sound, I don't think, and when someone, I think it's the Guardian article sort of said, oh, this is like if there was an extra Oasis album from that late 90s. I think it's more Kasabian or the music, I think, or maybe even like sort of Dig Out Your Soul era Oasis, like the Chocolate Lightning and those sort of tunes that have really got that sort of upbeat, like pounding rhythms to them and stuff. I think it's more like that kind of sound, really.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's
because Oasis have had so many different sounds as well. Yeah. Like, they've had so many different versions. They obviously started out kind of, in my eyes, more punk than anything.
Yeah.
With Definitely Maybe, and that really resonated with me as a kid. And then they've obviously evolved into a more songwriting phase with What's the Story, Morning Glory, while still being a rock band. Then Be Here Now is just full coke fueled, like, absolute
nonsense.
Yeah, it's just like the epitome of everything that I think they wanted to be, but maybe they should just never have tried. And then it kind of went on to like the more later stuff, like Gas Panic, and it's a bit more psychedelic, and it's like there's so many phases to it. There's so many phases.
Yeah. I don't think people realize that. A lot of people that tuned out after Morning Glory or Be Here Now, they don't clock that, but it's like, yeah, no, there is so much more to them. And to say it's been really interesting doing this, like, you know, the certain people that do really prefer that, you know, whether it's Dig Out Your Soul or Don't Believe the Truth or whatever. But yeah, going on then, that's a nice segue into the fact that, you know, obviously this hits Reddit, it then hits the forums, it's then I'm getting tagged on it on Twitter, I'm retweeting it out and sort of and flagging this up with people. Oh, just to take a step back. So the whole AI thing I'd found really interesting for a little while now. And I sort of a few weeks ago put up, like, or a few months ago, like, I asked ChatGPT to write an Oasis song. And it wrote the Oasis song, and I was putting them up and like, oh, ChatGPT, can you imagine a conversation between Noel and Liam Gallagher? And just things like that, because I just found that really interesting. Mm. And then coming up to April Fools, my old bandmate, who was the songwriter in our band, I was like, you know what? There's these couple of Oasis songs that are like lost gems that we've never heard before, that we've heard about. One, Slow, and one, The Red, the White, and the Blue, right? So these are things that mentioned in Tony's book or mentioned in interviews or whatever. And I was like, Joel, why don't we write why don't you, because he's a songwriter, why don't you write a song? We'll get ChatGPT to write the lyrics. You write the song. We'll put it together. And then we'll try, we'll put it out on April Fool's as like an Oasis. Oh, this is lost. This is finally this lost Oasis song. Haha, April Fool's.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then neither of us are Liam impersonators or whatever. So I'm like, well, no, that's not going to work. And I thought, ah, AI. Right, what about AI? And I started looking into it, and I was just like, I'm not techie at all. I'm like, what the fuck is all this? Okay, I haven't got a clue. but then doing these searches for AI, it's like I could spot these last, in only a few days before, this Liam Doan Don't Look Back in Anger had gone up. And then so literally I put that out on April the 1st saying it's an unheard song. And then Maxi Gonzalez had done like Liam doing the Talk Tonight and things like that. And so this is all coming together. And I was thinking, oh God, you know, that's, yeah, I was sort of thought that's brilliant. But then you guys then come out with this AI system. And I'm like, you bastards, that was my idea.
we stole your thunder.
Yeah, no, but obviously, but like I was saying, I think before we started recording, like, I'm really pleased it was you guys that did it, because, you know, obviously you've done the tech as well. It's not like you've just nicked someone else's tech for it. The fact you've done the tech and this Liam singing on this sounds better than a lot of those AI ones where you can hear it's fuzzy and you can hear when it drips back into Noel a few times. This just, it just sounds better. It's just brilliantly produced on top of the fact that it's, the music underlying it is really, really good. So, yeah.
Cheers, man.
I am pleased you got it.
It's quite weird because I'm not that techie either, really. I basically just hounded all of the geeks that I know, like who knew anything about coding or anything like that. And I was like, how the hell do I do this? Like, I've got the YouTube video of how to do it. Can you kind of walk me through it? And luckily I know a few people who actually could walk me through it. And it failed the first couple of times that we tried it. It was taking forever to make it. Also, a lot of Liam's vocal tracks had reverb and delay on it, which seems to like kind of muck up the algorithm. So I had to kind of use my production chops on the acapellas as well to strip all of the delay, strip all of the reverb, which is really annoying and time consuming. But luckily on the last go, we got it. And the first kind of acapella I put through it, I was like, oh my God, it sounds the same. Like to my ears anyway. And especially when you stick it in a really dense rock mix, it's like you can't even hear the fact that it's kind of not human anymore. It just sounds like Oasis is saying.
As the person that sang this originally, is it a little bit like, bit like going back to one of your song titles, bittersweet, that you're thinking like, oh, it's a bit of a shame because this is my songs and I'm singing them and yet I'm not on it anymore?
Honestly, I have zero ego when it comes to that. If anything, I enjoy it more than actually singing it. Like it makes it more enjoyable because it's like, oh, I kind of don't really like the sound of my voice too much. And then when you hear someone else singing it, it's like, oh, that's so much better.
Right. I suppose it sort of separates it off for you as well when you can,
yeah,
you,
yeah,
hear someone else. It's like you can appreciate it a little bit more.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. No, that's fantastic.
Fun fact as well, Alive was actually sung by Chris, who's Bobby's, you know, co-writing partner as well. And, you know, it was sort of, and then when we started doing stuff for the live show, we sort of actually had a last minute switch. We were like, do you know what? Let's do that. And then Bobby started singing the song. So it's been, you know, there's a lot of weird coincidences leading up to you know that. But what I think was really funny was if you actually listen to, I think the one with Chris singing Bobby was sounded even more like Liam, didn't it? With Alive, yeah. Sort of. Chris actually really has that tone.
Yeah, he had. Do you know what the weird thing was? He sounds more like Liam on the records, but then as soon as I fed his vocals into the Liam thing, it exploded. Like really? It didn't sound anything like Liam anymore. It just sounded completely weird. So I think it was like the more plain that the voice is, the better the AI worked.
Oh right. Yeah, I was wondering that actually.
Yeah, pretty gifted having two great singers in the band as well.
Yeah, that's very Noel of me as well, isn't it? To kick someone off vocals and become the singer.
Go on, mate. Sorry, go on.
I was going to say, the only regret is that if we'd have actually, if Bobby had run over all the vocals and put a bit of a northern twang on or put a bit of a Manchester accent on, it probably would have sounded even more convincing. There's a few little moments, isn't there, where it's still a little bit southern, don't you think, Bobby?
Yeah.
Well,
we'll do it for volume two.
What I really like about it is there's the couple where you do have Liam doing the nyah at the end of a line and things like that. Yeah. And it's like, yeah,
we have like added that in. Like there was a couple of things where it's like, I think I sent one version to John and he was like, yeah, it sounds great, but it's not got like the like the snarl.
Yeah, I think
snarl of it.
I think so I sent you a voice note. I think I sent you a voice note, Bobby, going, I think you need to try and redo that vocal yourself and then run that over and say, like, direction. Like,
yeah.
That was man-made, that little touch, yeah.
So that's the thing. If you can tailor what you're doing, then that makes it better, basically.
Defo, yeah.
Oh, okay, got you.
Stop the clocks. It's James here in the future. After the interview, John actually sent me over. He still had the WhatsApp voice recording where he asked Bobby to redo that bit of vocals. So here we go. Here's the little voice message. This is a bit of history, a bit of voice message, and then the isolated vocal, and then we'll hear how it actually sounded. And then after that, back to your regularly recorded program.
I'm at work, but it needs to be like, I need a new direction. Some kind of new sensation. It needs to do that.
I need a new direction. Some kind of new sensation.
And then also one of your tracks ends with a bit of All the Young Dudes kind of melody as well, which obviously we've heard Liam sing before when they've sort of done it at the end of Whatever. So that was lovely.
Yeah. Well, we actually always did that. Whenever we were playing the songs live, we would always add that in because it just sounded so good over it. We were just like, as a little nod, we were like, yeah, stick that in as well, because that is what they do as well.
Yeah, at the end of Whatever. Fantastic.
Even down, like, there's a couple of little Easter eggs in there as well. Like, even the fact that there's like a bit of a guitar nick from George Harrison's Wah Wah at the start of Time. And I was like, this is so, like, the concept of it is even like we're nicking the same kind of riffs that Noel would nick. Like,
yeah.
We got this even makes it even more authentic.
Yeah. I agree. I was gonna say that actually. I was like, it's one of those things, it's not egregious enough that you go, oh come on. But it's one of those you go, That's Wawa. Oh, cool. Okay, that's a nice little ad. So yeah, no,
I don't know how that actually came about. I think me and Chris were listening to it and it caught my ear and I was like, oh, that's a wicked little riff that if it was like looped up. And completely changed like the perception of how the riff would be played over different music, because it doesn't sound anything like Wah Wah, the actual song.
No, it's just you can sort of clock the melody and the sound. Well, let's talk about the sort of the big news, I suppose, is that, you know, so you had the Guardian article and then a few other articles, but then so yesterday Liam tweets and then Osiris Sonaro says, hey Liam, have you listened to the AISIS album yet? And Liam says, not the album, heard a tune. It's better than all the other snizzle out there. Nice. And then Violinista Do Twitternik says, what about AISIS, Liam? And he says, mad as fuck, I sound mega.
There we go.
I think that's the nicest thing he said in about 10 years.
Yeah.
About any...
The redemption arc's complete, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And this must be quite nice as well, because it's not like, I take it you've had no cease and desist orders or anything like take this down from Ignition or from Warner Brothers.
No, it's kind of weird. We were half expecting it, but it still hasn't materialised, to be honest. But if they did, we would have no problems taking it down. It's not about like kind of pissing off anyone or making money. Like, we've purposely not put ads on it or anything like that, or uploaded it to Spotify as IASIS. But like, we'd have no problems if they ever asked. It's not in our sphere to piss off anyone.
No,
well, I think it's an.
Sorry, go on.
Sorry, I was going to say, I think that it's an original body of work as well. I think that's what is making it a little bit different. It's not like Drake and The Weeknd, which is just a bedroom beat, essentially, like with all due respect to that track. Like, this is obviously a crafted human piece of work with a little helping hand right on the, you know, right on the top line. You know, yeah. I think that's what sets it apart. And I think that we were very honest in our, in our description straight away, you know, from the top line. It's just like, hey, this is just an alternate reality. This is something for you guys to enjoy. I think that's the spirit of it has been massively sort of embraced. And I think that's why it's had such a positive reception.
Yes. Sorry, my dog just started barking, but he's all right. I think he's calmed down. Shut up. absolutely. And then great reception. Fucking hell. Right. Out. Go to bed. Yeah, and then so that's good. And like I said, I think Liam's normally pretty cool about that sort of thing. So I think that's pretty nice. The one that you would worry about though is Noel, because Noel can be a little bit pushier about these things. But then he was on Zoe Ball this morning, and in a conversation just about something else entirely. Oh, who would play you in a film? Then he then mentions about the AI thing as well, and that he said, oh yeah, they've done Liam, but. They couldn't do me because I'm irreplaceable or something like that. So they've both fucking heard it.
Yeah. I mean, they definitely have heard it. I think Noel would never, ever comment on it anyway. He's not that type of guy, is he, really? He would just kind of, even if he did like it, he'd just palm it off. I think they probably also haven't taken it down because Noel's single's out today. And like, you know, you couldn't ask for any better press leading up to it than every single major publication talking about Oasis.
Yeah,
no, in the nicest way possible, but like maybe in a week's time they'll be like, right, we're done with it now, let's take it down.
well where do you guys take it from here then? What's the next step?
A lot of people are asking to hear the original Breezer tunes, so it's kind of like, does it look like a publicity stunt, or do we just say, look, you know, these are the original tunes, just so you know, this is what they sounded like before this. That's something that we're sort of talking about, just sort of giving, you know, just saying why not, you know. But you know, the band hasn't played a show since last July. I don't know if we've got the energy to get it back up and running again. What do we do? You know, I do sort of have this feverish nightmare where we're like, let's do an AISIS show in London. One night only, Breezer playing the tune AISIS. That could be a laugh.
Yeah. I think it's one of those things where it's like, it's been defunct now for a year or so. And we, as a joke, kind of said, wouldn't it be absolutely hilarious if Breezer went out as Oasis? And we literally have gone out as Oasis. And it's like spread around the world about a band that no one cared about. I think so, like that's kind of the legacy that maybe it should just be. Like, it should just be like, oh, this was wicked, this happened, and just leave it at that.
Oh, mate, why don't we book the Water Rats and do an Oasis gig at the Water Rats?
I mean, if anyone fancies coming to a Breezer gig that listens to this podcast, we would be more than happy to play a one-off gig for someone. There has been a few people. We used to have a booking agent in the band, but he's been a bit like, I've got like people calling me up, and it's a bit like, dude, we're old gits now. Like, it's not that easy. Like, I can't get up out of bed that easy anymore.
Yeah, imagine trying to sort the rehearsals out. Oh my god!
It's just, you know, like one show I could completely get behind, and if everyone, it seems like everyone's really enjoyed the songs, and if. It would be more for if people wanted us to rather than us wanting to.
Yeah, maybe you've got to do something like a Water Rats, especially for, you know, especially if you're down south. Like, surely there's got to be, come on, boys, you can get the band together for one more show. Sure,
it's how many live as well. It sounded absolutely mega.
It was, mate, watch the live videos online. If you go to our Instagram, there's a few really sick live clips in there. We've also got a live EP on Spotify, which is absolutely ripping. We played a show with Primal Scream, which was one of our five shows, was with Primal Scream at the White Rock in Hastings. We recorded the show and it was just like phenomenal, man. It's like, it's a great recording. We were not a shit band. That's let's put it that way.
Yeah, and then the other thing I noticed that you've sort of reached out to Liam about, you know, doing something like a charity single or something like that.
Oh yeah, no, yeah, that was just a bit of a banter. it would, you know, it would be wicked if, you know, he liked the music enough that was like, you know what, guys, let's try and write a song or something. Like, you know, for a band like us to be like, look, we can write songs too. It doesn't have to just be some guy in like LA. It can be normal guys as well who can write great songs and who really care about his career as well. We're not just doing it because it's like, oh, that would be great for my bank account. It'd be like, we're doing this because we know exactly what you should be doing.
Yeah,
we know what the kids want to hear. You know, all those like 15-year-olds that are Nebworth, the Gen Z fans, you know, they don't really care when he's playing like Wall of Glass and stuff. They want to hear, you know, they want to hear Slide Away, they want to hear Morning Glory. And actually, this sort of material, it gives Liam an opportunity to reconnect once again with that sort of generation, I think.
I've been so impressed with his like past few years as well. Like, genuinely, he's come back from the absolute dead. Like, in way stronger than he ever was in the last days of Oasis anyway. Like, his vocals now are getting back to where they were. There was a period of time where he was really struggling, and you could tell it just wasn't clicking vocally, and you could see it on his face that he just wasn't happy. And now it seems like he's singing like Morning Glory like he was in 96 or 97. Like, it's incredible.
I was at the Etihad show last summer, and it was honestly absolutely fucking mind-blowing. Like, he's just so good, and it's the closest thing to Oasis that anyone's going to get, I think, in this day and age. Well, until we released the album last week.
Your stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, well,
going back to what you were saying about, you know, yeah, he writes with, you know, Greg Kirsten, he writes with, you know, these various like professional songwriters. Yeah. And it is, you know, and it just shows, like, I've sort of said, no, he should be writing with the real people. You know, or he should be, you know, get Ashcroft to do a few songs with him or whatever, because that's, I'm sure that, I mean, I've really enjoyed all his solo stuff, but what's been really interesting is the way that so much of the discourse around the Oasis is, well, this is the best stuff Liam sung for years. You know, this is what, and that's, as I said, like we said it before, but that's amazing, really. And yeah, so why the hell not?
I think as well, like, it's not just about the songwriting, it's like the production. Like, can sometimes be way, way too polished. And it's like, you are a raw rock singer that relies on power and tone. And sometimes you just want a fucking ripping guitar like it sounds live. Like, you don't need this, like, perfectly crafted kind of amazing mix, amazing master, and it sounds like pristine. And it's like, it kind of takes away a bit of the attitude that sometimes can, you know, be missed by a pop songwriter like Greg Kurstin, or, you know, it can be overproduced. And yeah, sometimes just get back to basics, get back to just meat and potatoes, and sometimes it sounds way better.
Yeah, yeah. No, absolutely. Well, look, I will let you guys get on with your day. I mean, you've both got stuff to do. But yeah, thank you very much for your time. It's been fantastic. So I'll link in the description for the AIC stuff if people haven't heard it yet. And also, yeah, definitely check out the Breezer Originals. And obviously I'll be dropping in, you know, the little comparisons and things as we go. But yeah, the Breezer Original stuff is definitely worth listening. And that's out there on Spotify, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that might actually be seeing the light of day as well in the next few coming days or weeks. Yeah. I'm not sure how to describe it. But also check out Noel Gallagher's Champagne Bossa Nova, which has just come out today.
Oh, yeah, we're going to talk about that. So we'll just talk about that quickly then. So, yeah, Council Skies is Council Skies has come out this morning. I thought, like, I was enjoying it as it's ticking along, and it's like, yeah, that's fine. And it goes into the pre-chorus, and it's like, okay, that's from Pretty Boy. And then it goes into the chorus, and it's like, I found you. It's like, that's the Ballad of Mighty Eye. And
yeah, yeah.
And so as much as I enjoyed the song, it's like, when it's so blatant like that, it just takes me out of it too much. And so I can't now sort of judge the song for what the song is itself, because I'm just thinking, well, it's just yeah, Pretty Boy. You know what I mean? Do you get that?
Yeah. Yeah, I like we listened this morning. It's just, I mean this in the most respectful way, because he's written incredible, incredible songs. But he seems to have lost his edge. Do you know what I mean? Like, he seems to have lost his edge for writing something that changes the way someone feels. It all just feels very plodding. I really did like his last one with the strings. Yeah, I actually thought that was really fucking good. But that, to me, I was like, he's quite obviously pushing the envelope here. He's really trying to create something magical, or, you know, exciting or different to what he's usually doing. And I think when he rests on his laurels and just goes, oh, that sounds like a nice safe single, that'll go well on Radio 4 or Radio 2. It's like, come on, mate, you're better than this.
Yeah, I heard it earlier, and it was okay. For me, it was it's just so far removed from what his brother's doing, isn't it? It's not. Yeah. I don't think Noel is even remotely interested in appealing to the Oasis fans anymore. I have big respect for him. I know he sort of said, like, he's basically an independent artist now, and I think that was really cool. I think that's, you know, that's cool as fuck. But I did sort of feel, after, I think we got ourselves in this excitement of, oh, you know, this will be, you know, Oasis will be a catalyst to get Oasis back together. But don't think he even mentioned them on Radio 2 this morning. He must just sort of say, look, I'll come in and do an interview, but let's not talk about Oasis. And I think he's really removed himself from it. So,
yeah, I don't think he's interested in the music aspect of Oasis anymore. Like, I genuinely don't think he's interested in making rock and roll anymore. Like, just deep down, I think Liam's the guy who's carried on that torch, and Noel is now going into his kind of, like, you know, Royal Albert Hall phase or whatever. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
he's trying to go for something completely different.
Yeah, and when he does do Oasis songs live, he tends to high flying birdsify them. You know, he'll sort of change the production, and he'll change the style, so he does strip them away and make them more like what he's doing now.
But yeah, I do enjoy the song. Like, I thought it was a really good song. Like, you know, it was, I like the bossa nova sort of style to it. I like the lyrics. I like the way it's sort of produced and everything. And there's a few like really nice chord changes and stuff. But then, yeah, I just can't deal with the fact that it just rips his own stuff off so much. You know, and even the fact it's like he sings the same melody over the same lyrics. Like, don't do that. You know, did someone in his team not say, it's really nice, Noel, but could you sing something different than I Found You? Because you said exactly that phrase over exactly that melody.
Maybe the problem is he hasn't got anyone like that anymore.
Yeah.
Like, to kind of push him or just to question him, be like, that's not good enough, mate. Mm. Like, you know, I think the brilliance of when he was writing those initial first three, four albums, I kind of tuned out after the fourth album. I was a bit like, it's just going in a different direction that I'm not really interested in. Was that he just didn't, it was just every idea was on 10. There was no kind of questioning it or anything. It was like, this is the idea. This is how amazing it's going to sound. Like, fully, like the ideas were fully formed. And it feels a bit like he's trying to be something that he's not now, and it's like, dude, get back to basics, just write some great songs.
He
needs to take his own advice. I think at the end of Nebworth, he's like, you know, like Wonderwall, if you try and write the perfect song, you're going to spend your whole life doing it. You know, he just essentially implies that he just knocked out Wonderwall and never thought about changing any lyrics or chords. It just was, that's what it was, and that's why it's so good. So
yeah,
I don't know why he isn't sort of doing that now. He's probably overthinking things.
It must be dead hard though. It must be dead hard to be him, because like, yeah, you've written some of the biggest songs ever. Like, you can't. The pressure must be insane.
You can't do it forever.
The thing, there's only so many melodies and there's only so many chord sequences, isn't there? And so like I'm saying, it feels a bit harsh to be like, you know, picking him up on like, well, you've reused that bit that you've used somewhere else before, because you only have got that many melodies. But I don't know, it just feels like there's so many options. And I completely agree. I think maybe if he had a musical collaborator who was like, no, that's not good enough. Do something, change that around, move that bit. And whenever he does his interviews, and they always ask him the same questions, oh, tell us about how you write a song. And he always says, I sit around, I play around with the chord sequence, and then I come up with it. And it's like, but then you often do that, and then you put it together, and it's like, but then it's just the same chord sequence from that you've used again. I don't know, If I Had a Gun for the fourth time, you know, so.
Yeah, maybe it's something that he does, because a lot of stuff on Morning Glory is based around a lot of the same chords.
Yeah.
Which is, it worked at the time, and it sounded incredible. And I think he's just trying to be a bit more expansive in his songwriting now, kind of trying different ideas when necessarily doesn't really even need to. It's just like, just come up with some original new material that kind of would appeal to your core fan base, because they're gonna, and also it seems like Oasis and Noel Gallagher and Liam Gallagher fans, they know everything about the band and they know everything about every song, and they're gonna notice the fact that that sounds really similar to that previous single.
Just go back to the pentatonic scale, Noel. Saying that, with eight, you were saying earlier, that, you know, there's only a certain amount of there's a finite amount of chords and melodies, but you know, with AI, we might finally get the H chord or the I chord in the future. You just never know, do you?
No. Cool. Well, look, I'll let you guys go, but thank you so much for your time today, and. Yeah, and if people want to check out Breeze, then obviously then hit the description where we'll have the links to where you can hear this stuff. And yeah, and get the, and if you want to come and see AISIS live, I'm happy to book out the Water Rats and make it an Oasis podcast show. So yeah, let's go around the guys class. And make it happen.
That
would be class.
Yeah, I think you might have got a little there'll be a conversation about this very shortly.
All right, guys, well, look, thanks so much for your time today, and have a good one. Enjoy the moment.
Cheers, mate. Thank you so much for having us on.
Thanks for having us on, man. Really appreciate it. And love what you do, man.
So I hope you guys enjoyed that. Really enjoyed chatting to the guys. It was fantastic. Obviously, it's sort of a mad time for them at the moment. But yeah, I do hope that something really comes of this because, you know, it is fantastic. The project is absolutely brilliant. And it's sort of so nice that just this little gimmick that they've put in place has meant that people are discovering their music. So I think it's really fantastic. And yeah, and like I said, if you think you'd like to come out and see them live, I think it'd be great to get them an Oasis podcast live. So, yeah, maybe drop me a message, drop the guys a message if you think that is something you'd pay a few quid to come out and see. All right, that'll do it for today. Thank you very much for listening to the Oasis podcast. Most of all, thanks go to our patrons. You put your money where your mouth is and it's greatly appreciated. You can become a patron at patreon.com/OasisPod, which is where I post bonus episodes, often Wonder Walks and additional episodes, and it's where we have the Discord where we tend to arrange sort of the upcoming episodes and get ideas and things from there, so that's really good fun. Also do check out the Britpop History podcast as well. April 1993 will be coming out shortly, and also the YouTube channel. I've put up over there a few clips of the recent episodes, plus also this Britpop History album ranking I'm doing. So the first one has gone up there, which sort of talks about the overall album ranking, how that's come about. And the next episode will be going up shortly. So do make sure you go over and subscribe to the Oasis podcast on YouTube. All right, that will do it for today. Thank you very much for listening. Stay in touch, stay engaged, and stay young.